All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode. And if you see who's joining me today, I mean, I'm not just saying this because she's here, but she's who I've called the star of the season, Miss Melissa. Listen, I mean, I've been your biggest spokesperson on Twitter, if you haven't realized as well. So I've been kind of, you know, yeah. And also, too, just from the beginning here, it's worth mentioning, you yourself are also a podcaster in your own right now. Congratulations.
Thank you. T and I have created a podcast called Fresh Cotton Pads. You'll know the meaning of the name if you've seen Total Madness.
I got to ask, what was the inspiration behind that? And for those who, you know, maybe aren't aware, what's sort of the basis of your and Big T's podcast?
So we decided to do the podcast because it's a way of us getting our own voices heard, because obviously the show we film 24 hours a day and everything is cut down into like an hour long episode. So we wanted to use the podcast as an opportunity to speak out on like our opinion of things and what went down overall, not just what you get to see on TV, because everything that you see, like the deliberations, every single person has to talk, but they'll only show like a certain few. And then it obviously the way things are edited sometimes, it can make it look a certain kind of way. Prime example is the very previous episode that's just been out with the argument with Berna. Like, T wasn't even involved in that. It was Berna actually accused me and Narice of giving her, like, rolling our eyes at her, but obviously the way the edit's cut, it shows me and T looking like very mean girls, and we were looking at people, we were looking around the pool because there was a lot going on. Like, there was,
I think you were looking at Mariah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, well, I don't remember, because it was so long ago, I don't remember exactly who I was looking at, but I would have been looking at, like, Mariah and James and being like, oh, yeah, and then we've got Raven and Kieran kissing, and, like, Asaf dressing up as a woman and stuff. So, you know, there's a lot we could be looking at. And but it fits the story of, you know, me and Berna got into an argument. It was the perfect clip of us looking. I think it was Mariah. I think it was. And I think it wasn't even to do with Mariah and James. I think it was I can't even remember. But I know it wasn't it. I wasn't looking at it. Like, I was completely unaware of what Berna was doing. There was so much going on. So it's good that me and T can use the podcast now and express, like, you know, this is actually what happened. And not just in that, in certain things like the challenges, and we can just get our voices heard and tell people our side of the story and our truth.
Yeah, I've always said, you know, in all my previous episodes, there's like thousands of hours of footage that they're having to condense down into like just an hour. So you're typically not seeing like exactly, like, they're able to kind of like put things in certain places.
Exactly. Not only that though, as well, things that happen after the show, like, this is the worst season that he's done for herself. So she said that she didn't enjoy it, that she felt very isolated, she didn't have me there. And when, like, she came out as gay, she came out, I don't know if she's gay or bi, I don't know what she is, we've not really spoke about it. She's came out and people are like posting on social media, really like, oh, so proud of you, so supportive. But then in the show, they were really like, they made her feel like this bit. And it's like, you don't follow her on Instagram, you've not messaged her directly to congratulate her, but you're putting it online. It's like they're kind of doing it for like. So, like, on the next episode of Fresh Cotton Pads, basically, I've got like, I'm going in on each person individually and they're getting named over who made her feel a kind of way. And then they're posting, and it's like, you made to feel like this. Don't be trying to pretend to be all supportive just for the sake of likes. So we'll get an exposed next episode.
Yeah. I don't obviously, you know, want to, you know, give it away, because I want them to see like what you guys have to say on your podcast. Yeah. But like, just in a nutshell, did you feel like within the house that once Big T came out that people weren't, like, not everybody was as receptive to her? Like, did you feel like certain people, not belittled, but like shunned her?
No, it was nothing to do with it coming out. It was like just in the general, in the game.
In the general sense, yeah.
For instance, when like she win an elimination, in the past, when you win an elimination, you come back to the house and everyone comes and celebrates with you. People didn't. Like, well done, go and do your own thing. And then it was like, at one point she said, it's so crazy how it's literally just me and you sat in the bedroom and everyone else is like upstairs partying. Usually everyone like sticks together and celebrates together. It was just a very, I felt like it was a very divided season. Like people had their alliances and that was it. Whereas it was just constant games. So there wasn't like, oh, you've won, let's celebrate you being here, let's have fun. It was right, like, now let's talk more game. Let's talk more game again. Let's talk more game again. And it got to the point where me and T were like the vets usually, they know how to have fun. They know how to make good TV. And it wasn't like that this season. It was just game. And it got to the point where we were like, just chill. Have a bit of fun and it will make better television. Because it felt borderline boring. And bored in a challenge house before, like, until this season.
Well listen, Melissa, I you know, if you happen to see on Twitter, I said it about the aspect of, like, you know, we see so many people, like, they come back to these shows and, like you said, with the whole seriousness, it's all game. There's a way to be a good competitor while also being able to make entertaining TV, and like I pointed out, is that you seem to get that. Did you notice, because your last season prior to this was obviously Total Madness, which, I mean, granted, you guys were in a bunker, so that's about as much fun as you can possibly have, but did you notice, like, a difference, though, like, even a shift from, like, a season, like, let's just say even like Vendettas too, like, did you notice a difference in vibe and atmosphere?
But the vibe and atmosphere was pretty much, it was similar Vendettas and Total Madness, because the vets know how to be, they know how to make good TV, as you said, and I'm not taking away that people on this season don't know how to make good TV, but I think that they just kind of got, they were very focused just on the game and they were too scared to do anything to make good TV in case it jeopardized the game and if it got them thrown into elimination and things like that. Which is fair enough that it is a big prize money and you are there to compete, but ultimately it is a TV show as well and you do need to be entertaining. And not only that, just experiencing doing the show. You don't want it to be boring. You want, like, you've got one life, you need to have fun, you need to live it. And just don't be so serious. Just chill.
Well, I mean, I think, like, I can't speak for you, but, like, just for me, from, like, what I see on screen, and obviously, you know, you were pregnant on Total Madness, so that might have even been an influence. It kind of felt like you felt more, like, free and open and, like, were enjoying yourself this time around compared to the last time. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, 100%. And it's because the people that we were with, like, we could just have more fun. Mm-hmm. And like it sounds like I'm repeating myself, but it is just like there was no fun to be had. It was just too serious. Like Total Madness, we were in the bunker. You know, they had to come in and measure the oxygen levels on a daily basis, make sure we wouldn't die. And it was still more fun. We didn't have daylight. We didn't have any of that. We had to go to the toilet and porta potties the entire season, which for our I was like, if you woke up in the night and you needed to pee, it was like a 5-minute walk in the middle of the night. And you wake up and you wouldn't even know if it was day or night. So you think, shall I just get up? But then you're like, it could be 3 a.m. and you just don't know. But that was still more enjoyable because you felt like you could just chill. We could just go downstairs in the kitchen of the bunker and we'd all have a drink and we'd be playing games and we'd be playing Spin the Bottle and we'd be having a laugh. And it's like, we played Spin the Bottle the very first night in the elimination grounds and that was fun, but as soon as we got into the house it was like, come on, let's do something. I remember like the only thing that they were doing at one point was trying to solve riddles and I was sitting there like, oh my god, trying to solve a riddle, like that was the game. And I was I remember walking, and I take a diary in every season just to write my thoughts down, and in the diary it's like day 6. I've never been so bored in my life.
This is on this season?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The first night we actually had fun was the pool party.
Uh-huh.
That was the first night. And then the night where T came out. And then apart from them two things, it was like, come on, let's do something. And I don't know. It wasn't the best season.
Do you think that's more of like do you attribute that to more of just like the people around you, or do you think that was just anything else contributed to that?
I think it was the people, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
think it was the cast, because I know they've all been on TV, so they all know how to make good TV. But because of the aspect of this TV show, with it being a game and the prize money and things like that, they were just focused on that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying all of them were like that, but the majority of them were. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when determining, obviously, you know, you had your baby, and then, you know, we had you sort of take a couple seasons off. When determining when you were going to come back, what about this time made it right? Like, were we close to ever seeing you before this, or how did that process go?
So I was supposed to come back during, like, the COVID. I think it might have been Iceland. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're going to go into isolation for a week or two to make sure you haven't got COVID and stuff. I remember thinking to myself, if I'm going to spend 2 weeks in there and then start film, it's like I was adding up the time I'd be gone from Vienna. So I was like, if I leave now, I could just go in isolation. And then this season that this happened, I'm glad I said no, because they went into isolation and they'd start filming and then someone would get COVID and they'd all have to go back into the hotel and space. Mm-hmm. That went on for so long. And I was getting the films back and everything because they were there for so long. And I was like, thank God I didn't do that, because I would have been gone for like maybe 5 weeks and we wouldn't have even started filming. And the thought of leaving Vienna was traumatizing as it is. Never mind just sitting in an empty hotel room by myself with nothing but a TV with like five channels, because going to them type of situations, you're still not allowed your phone or laptop mm-hmm. or anything like that. So I was glad. And I also had some drama going on with Vienna's dad as well at the time. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the best time for me to leave. So this time round, when I got the call, I just felt ready and I knew it was right. And I was like, I think I can do it now. Like, Vienna's old enough that she can go with my mum and dad. And if she's hungry, she can say, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm tired, I'm sick. She can express what she needs. Like, she doesn't need a mum to speak for her anymore. So it just felt like more, it just felt right.
Is she old enough to where you could show her this, or you don't want to show her the show?
I'll show it, and she just goes, oh, there's mommy. she understands it's me on TV, but she would not understand, like, the concept of mm-hmm. what or anything.
Yeah. Well, I do want to kind of talk a little bit about this episode, because we talked about it a little bit in the beginning, obviously, with sort of things and the context of certain things. You know, we saw, like, the whole, like, quote-unquote, you know, bullying thing thrown around. And then you obviously spoke about your upbringing as well and your past and why that word kind of struck a nerve with you. I kind of want to ask you, like, because you spoke in the episode a little bit about sort of what you dealt with growing up. Could you dive, like, a little bit into, like, sort of what your upbringing was like?
My upbringing was great. Like, I had a really good childhood, happy family and happy home and everything. It was when I started high school, I was always like a tomboy and I was like really skinny. I used to run for Liverpool, where I'm from. I used to go to gymnastics. I used to do fighting classes. I used to do everything. Every day was another sport. So I was very, like, very, very skinny at the time. And the girls started getting hips and getting boobs and I wasn't. And it was getting this. And then they started getting interested in boys. And I was like, I was one of the boys. I was going and playing football with the guys. I was going out, like, because I was in all of these, like, going to, like, boxing classes and things like that. I was around them more, not men, boys more. So I was, like, sort of one of them. And I wasn't, like, the girls sort of turned against me for it. It was a bit weird. And one in particular girl got really nasty to the point where she wrote, like, a burn book about me in school and passed it around so everyone could write mean things about me. And they'd be, like, wait to find me after school and stuff and follow me and to, like, intimidate me, and I'd end up in fights, things like that. It was just not nice, and I ended up moving schools a few times because of this. And then the bullying followed me from one school to another, because it's the same city and people have friend circles that are connected, and it was horrible. Like, I remember girls would pretend to be my friend, and I remember I was at lunch with them and they invited me to eat lunch with them, and when I sat down, they all stood up and walked away and just left the table. And I remember, like, literally going to the toilet and just sitting in the toilet crying during the lunch. And, like, every day I'd walk into the canteen and it was a panic of where do I sit, who do I sit with. It was like, because obviously if like the main group of girls starts picking on you, or the girls don't really want to hang out with you, and I went to an all-girls school, other girls wouldn't want to hang out with you because they don't want to then become the target. So you sort of like, it wasn't nice. So it a nerve for me. And I think the reason that like I went off so much on Burnout, like screaming at her, was because throughout the time that we'd been there already, she'd said that multiple people had rolled their eyes at her. She said it in the past to Big T in another season. She was creating a lot of drama out of nothing. She was quite like aggressive in how she was speaking to me. I remember the first night that we got there, the argument that she had with Huey. I said to her, you know, we're all really tired. We've been away for like 2 days now. So the day of the first challenge, we'd slept in the elimination grounds and it was freezing and raining, so we didn't really sleep. You know, let's just call it a night. We'll go to bed, have an early night. Tomorrow's a new day, it'll be a better day. And she goes, do not put that pressure on me. Do not speak to me like that, and like push me out the way. And someone's passing, I'm like, this girl's got, there's no talking to her. So when she said that, it really struck a nerve. And I was like, no, you're not saying that about me. You can go around bitching about other people and say what you want, but don't come for me. Because that word, it's a horrible, horrible word just to throw around. And when I was bullied so badly, it did like strike a real big nerve with me. And I just snapped.
Wow. Yeah, that's, I can imagine too, like, you know, if you, because I'm assuming that'd be like traumatic for you. So like if somebody like in Berna's case were to bring that up, that almost like in a sense, I don't want to say like maybe brings you back to like a time in your life, but it could, you know, like remind you of like, oh no, like I was dealing with this growing up. And like for someone to say that, it would kind of, I understand why it would strike a nerve. That particular instance though, from what I've, you know, seemingly gathered on Twitter, sort of seemed like it didn't even necessarily involve her, like what was being talked about. Like I heard something about a speaker next to the pool.
Yeah. What actually happened when we were in the pool, Bennett, we got given a speaker, and you don't get music when you film the show. Mm-hmm. It's a luxury. It's like, you know, you can have some music for a bit, have a bit of fun, and then they want you to turn it down because they don't want to miss out on conversations and things like that. So you can get your privileges revoked if you do something wrong. So they gave us a speaker for a little bit, and Berna kept picking it up over the pool. Like, and me and Narissa, Berna put it down. If you drop it or damage it, that's us. Then we won't get music for the rest of the season. Like, you're going to revoke our privileges by acting silly, basically. And I think the fact that we just asked her not to do that, she took it the wrong way, as if like we were arguing with her and we wasn't. And when she's saying like people are rolling her eyes at her and stuff, I think she does have like borderline paranoia with things. She did it repeatedly throughout the entire season. She was convinced people didn't like her. She assumed if people were talking, they must be talking about her, and it was constant. And I think that's one of like another factor of why I just flipped, because I was just like, just stop it. Like it was weird. It's like everything had to be about her.
But prior to that though, like you and her were, at least in your mind, were cool prior to that?
I mean, I had no issue with her. I didn't particularly like her at that point because of the drama she was causing so early on, because of how like I tried to like just settle the situation and say, you know, let's go to bed and let's have a late night when she was arguing, and for her to respond by just snapping at me, it was very, very rude. And she wasn't just rude to me, she was rude to other people as well. So, for instance, some of the staff, like the producers, the talent, you know, the people, if you've got a headache, they go and get you some tablets. If you need something, they'll get it for you. They basically, like, babysit us.
Yeah.
At a challenge one day, she was like, go get me ice for me knee.
To you or to the producer?
Staff member. But not please, not like, can you please get me some ice? Go get me ice. And she gave her the ice, and she went, I need a towel to put the ice in to ice me knee. So she went back and got it, and she's like, go get me that cup. Go get this. Not one, say please or thank you. And I said to the talent, I said, she's not so please or thank you once there. And she's like, I know. And it became like an issue, and people used to say, Berna, say please, say thank you. Like, she just didn't. She had no manners in that way. And so she was very like aggressive in speaking to people. So it wasn't like her likable quality. After the argument happened, we did talk more and we did become more friendly. But I think you've just got to be quite upfront and honest and say to her, I don't like this. But as I said, she has got like borderline paranoia. So she was just under the impression people didn't like her or every argument was about her. It was just weird. It wasn't very nice.
Do you think it's like a language barrier or?
She said it was a language barrier and she used to say, I just don't understand. But I don't think it is. I think she's just rude and doesn't have any manners.
So it could be kind of like a front or like an excuse sort of.
It says she can't, it's a language barrier when it's convenient for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, when coming on to this season, like when I spoke to Big T a couple weeks ago, she said you were very instrumental in like, you know, making her want to return. Like you guys sort of spoke about like coming on to this show together. For you personally, was Big T sort of like instrumental in why you decided to come back or one of the reasons?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Like when we both got to the show, it was a given that we had to do it together again. Because obviously me leaving Vienna, it's hard enough as it is. So to go with my best friend and having her there, it was like we couldn't not have done it at all. At one point, she was actually just an alternative. She was just an alt. She was
Oh, wow, really?
And I was like, I really hope you get it. And when she got the call to say that she's definitely doing it, we were literally so happy. We sat down, we come up with this big master plan saying that we're going to go into the season and pretend that we've had a falling out and we went, you know, to try and like act like we're not as close as we are to spy on other people. And the second that we got onto the season, we seen each other and just hugged each other and started screaming like we couldn't. 5 minutes.
How far does your and hers friendship go back? Did you guys just meet on Total Madness or did you know each other prior?
We met on Total Madness, which is crazy because we did become close on there, but we did not become as close as what you'd imagine we did. It was after the show that we started talking, and obviously I found out I was pregnant and she was calling me every single day and she went through the whole journey with me, and then she lost her dad, and like we just became so, so close. Like she literally is my sister. Like she's in my house now with my daughter.
Oh wow!
And I've asked her to be Vienna's godmother as well.
That's so awesome. No, I look back at when I first saw that you were going to be on this season. Obviously, I was very excited because I felt like, and you know, me and you both spoke about this moments before, like the aspect of entertaining TV is such a really big component in the show. Like I know a lot of it is the competition aspect, but for me personally, what always like gravitated me towards the show was the personalities to begin with. And yeah. Something that I noticed about you is for the most part, every single time we've seen you, you've both provided commentary in like, you know, funny aspects. And you're making entertaining television while also being, you know, a good competitor as well. And I look at Vendettas and, you know, you've probably heard this a bunch of times, but your elimination with Sylvia is like referred to as one of the best eliminations, not only just for the women, just all around in like the history of the show.
That was, I think, got voted like top 5 eliminations.
I mean, in my eyes, it is. Yeah, 100%.
It was a great elimination that went on for ages. It must have been over an hour, maybe close to two. And it was tough because I don't know if you remember, a few days before the elimination, I did a backflip and kicked the chandelier.
Mm-hmm.
I had like a cut on top of my foot. When we were actually doing the wrestle, we had to be on our knees the whole time, and this cut was open, and the water had sand in it. So can you imagine like sand rubbing into like open wound? The entire time, that was absolutely killing me. It was freezing cold, like we were like shivering in the water, and they just kept pouring more and more oil on us. And obviously, I fight very dirty as well.
So that knee was kind of intentional. That knee,
the private part. Well, me and Sylvia are cool now, though, so it's fine.
No, but like I saw, you know, with that got me very like, and a lot of people as well. Like once they saw that, they were very excited heading into Final Reckoning. So then when you exited so early as you did, people were so disappointed, not only because like we, you know, missed you seeing me on the season, but you and Cam, a lot of people said like had potential to do really well together.
I barely regret that, but obviously you learn by your mistakes, and you know it even got like if it, now if that happens, I'd know to restrain myself more. But initially, if like someone does hit you, my reaction is to just defend myself and hit them back. So
Do you feel like you becoming a mom has like leveled you out in any way, do you feel? Like as a person?
I'm less bothered by things. I was like a lot more chill. I know you wouldn't think that looking at last episode. And you probably won't think that when you see a few more episodes because there's still more to come, as people would probably expect from me. But it has calmed me down a lot. And like I did in my mind, I did think to myself, you know, I do want to be here more for the competition, not just to cause drama. But then again, drama just happens in these shows, and unfortunately, I was pushed to the point where, so at some points, where I was just bored and maybe drama just for the sake of it.
Did you have like a plan coming into this though? Like as far as obviously you and Big T were going to be sticking very closely together, but there was very evidently, as we've seen with these episodes, there was, you know, the American girls that were wanting you and Big T out of the game for the most part. Did you two, but you and Big T, like have any, you know, specific conversations with any other people as far as like working together?
So we knew American Alliance arriving into the show. So we basically said we need to get in it. We need to get in that alliance. We need to befriend them. Which was easier than what you'd imagine because the cracks in their alliance show really early. And some of I obviously can't say too much, but the alliance wasn't very strong.
Yeah, we've got a lot of ways to go still, so.
Definitely try want to try and get in the alliance, but when we did start filming, it was very evident that we weren't involved in any of these private conversations. Everywhere we went, there was whispers, there was secret conversations. I would stop when you walk in the room, and as I said, there was a lot of it was constant game talk. So every room you went in, there was people like plans doing everything, and I don't it was just a very, very serious season.
Yeah, you mentioned sort of before about how Big T felt about her experience. Did you feel like in any way sort of ostracized by the people?
I did and I didn't. I think Big T thought that she'd have more alliances than what she did. Like she thought like Jay would be on his side. Seth had to talk with her and said that he'd be on his side, and a couple of other people did as well. Zara going in said that she wanted to work with T and that she wanted to room together. And then as soon as we started filming, none of that happened. So I went in there and I was like, I know I've got no alliance other than Big T. It is what it is. I just need to smash the challenges, try and befriend people, and just try and build my social game up. Whereas T was more upset because she thought people were going to be on her side. I mean, I told her they're not, but she wouldn't listen to me. She's like, no, honestly, we've got Zara, we've got Jay. I was like, we haven't. We've got. And she just couldn't accept it.
So you kind of like were ready, were under like the you're almost accepting to the effect or the fact already that like, all right, I kind of already know like where people stand with me, where she was kind of expecting more from people, I guess.
But I think as well, in the back of my mind, looking at the cast as well, I was a bit like, okay, even if I don't have an alliance, just as long as I make sure I kill the challenges, then I'll be fine. But
Were you disappointed that we weren't going to be having like a lot of the like so-called champions like on the cast and it was going to be newer people, or was that exciting for you?
I wasn't disappointed, no, but I was going into the show, but I was disappointed whilst filming just because I was like, this cast is just, it's going to make rubbish TV, and it's not, I think it's going to be boring. Like, you miss the big personalities like Bananas and Wes and CT, who know how to be entertaining. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, we are here to win a game, but we are here to make TV, and this is not good TV. This is rubbish. You need to spice things up a bit. You need to be a bit more interesting, not just the game. So I did miss the bigger personalities, and it just shows you how much the vets actually make the show.
Yeah, I get from, like, both perspectives. Like, if you're trying to play a game and win money, I think from that perspective, that benefits you with this cast. But if, like, you take yourself out of the first-person perspective and try to, like, look at it from an outsider's perspective, from a TV lens, you're kind of like, well, we're kind of, you know, not on the, you know, best-looking front here. But
I was feeling it. Like, it has been portrayed on the show as well. Like, people have said up until last episode, where's the entertainment, where's the drama kind of thing? Because people want to see that.
Do you get offended at all if anybody, like, criticizes the show? Like, do you take it personally, or do you see both perspectives?
No, I don't ever get offended at anything. I've got, like, really thick skin now when it comes to everything, because you back a lot of hate online. Like, when they posted the Burner clip the other day, I received quite a bit of backlash, because just looking at it as a viewer, and the way that it's being edited, it does look like I'm being a mean girl.
Yeah.
And then even when it shows me, like, screaming in a face, it didn't start with me just screaming in a face. It ended like that, but they cut out the boring bits and put in the good bits, so that's what it looks like. And Burner just went and run with it. Like, Burner never mentioned anything about Nerisse online. When originally she accused me and Nerisse of doing it, so why has she not brought that up at all? She's just run with the fact that they've played a clip of me and Big T, because it fits the storyline better.
So you felt like you were kind of just an easier target then to blame it on?
Well, I give myself that target, didn't I, by screaming at her early?
Oh, you got a point there. But no, I'm very excited to see, you know, the rest of the season and how it plays out for both you and Big T. So for anybody interested in hearing the tea that's soon to be spilled in a couple of, I don't even know, weeks, days, however it may be. I can't even know the schedule anymore. But for those interested, go check out Melissa and Big T's podcast. It's called Fresh Cotton Pads Podcast. They do a great job over there. And Melissa, it was a fun time getting to meet you today and speak to you.
Thank you for having me.
For sure. Have a great rest of your weekend. Right.
You too.
Friday, right? Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.